If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
You're listening to Nightmare on Film Street. The current time is 6:66. Traffic is clear ahead from here to the afterlife, but it's hell outside. So, let's give a grave welcome to our hosts, John and Kim.
Hello again, fiends, and welcome to Nightmare on Film Street, the horror movie podcast for the casually obsessed. I'm Kimmy.
I'm John.
And we are back with a brand new season for you. All spring long, we will be talking about horror movies every week. So subscribe if you aren't already. Download your new episodes. This episode, you're doing great so far. This is number one. New season, new theme. And we're not going to tell you what it is.
New secrets.
If you are new to our seasonal format, we don't tell you the theme. We just release a bunch of episodes week after week on different horror movies, old and new, and whatever we feel like talking about. And they're going to have something in common. And you are going to have to guess what that is.
That's right. I almost said what last season's secret theme is, but that seems like a mistake. If you haven't listened to them, go back. They're fun. But yes, if you can predict the secret theme, we're going to give you a cool little prize pack. You've got two opportunities this season to submit your guesses, your predictions for what the secret theme is. First person to get it right is going to win the grand prize. Everybody else who gets it correct will be entered into a draw to win a secondary roundup prize.
T-shirt.
There's a link in the episode description wherever you're listening to this. And this week, your first clue to the new secret theme, if you want to get your guesses in early, is William Brent Bell's The Boy. 2015 stunner.
I thought it was 16, but yeah, I guess 15.
Letterboxd says 2016, you might be right. I think there was a different movie that came out in 2015 called The Boy.
It's not a super unique title.
No. I don't know if you saw this.
But it's spooky.
So when this movie was first announced, because didn't he do that found footage movie, The Devil Inside? Wasn't
yeah.
that his other movie before this? He later went on to do The Orphan First Kill, which people have really appreciated. But The Boy, when it was first announced, I think it was called The Intruder or something like that. It was basically just like, the villain lives in the walls. Like, that was practically the title of the fucking movie.
The Intruder.
So I'm glad they changed it.
That was the original title, like, at the point of release? That was the title?
It was something like The Intruder when they announced this. Let me find you the real title. The Boy,
2016. Because The Intruder, the only person that would fit that description, I guess, is the grocery guy?
The grocery guy is The Intruder. It was The Inhabitant. That's what it was called.
The Inhabitant.
What a terrible title. If you're trying to keep
it in this movie. I get the double entendre with it, like they think it's inhabiting the doll.
No.
But...
Absolutely not.
No.
No.
If
you're not going to call it The Boy, call it The Babysitter, which also a title everybody's used.
I like The
times.
Boy, though. The Boy works.
Boy works.
You know what? My brain always confuses this movie with that Guillermo del Toro movie that nobody watches or talks about.
Oh. With Katie Holmes?
Is it Katie Holmes?
Didn't he just produce it?
Did he just produce it?
Well, he was the face of it, is the thing.
Yeah.
He was signing posters for it at a con when we were there.
So I
we
got
were like,
a free
it's
t-shirt.
Obviously is. Yeah.
I wear that t-shirt all the time still. It's my sleep shirt.
Is it Don't Be Afraid of the Dark?
It's like, don't be afraid of the dark or don't something, 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 something.
It's called Guillermo del Toro Presents.
And it's about like little gremlins in the walls.
Yeah.
That's what my brain goes to whenever this movie is mentioned.
I love a movie where a monster or a person lives in the walls.
Yeah, but we don't know that, John. We don't know that.
Oh, you want to dial back to the what? You want me to pretend like
this is a haunted house movie? What? I don't know what we're even saying.
Okay, all right. Haunted house movie. The Boy, a movie about a ghost that has possessed a little ceramic doll that you must treat as a real boy.
But also, it's got like crazy parents who won't let go of their dead son, essentially. Yeah. That's what you think upon being hired as the nanny.
We have an American nanny who's taken on this weird position to babysit, to take care. I mean, she thinks she's going to be a real legit nanny for a real legit boy for a couple months. But when she gets there, she learns that this eccentric, odd couple in the middle of the countryside is asking her to take care of a ceramic doll like it's a real human being.
Boy.
And they're real serious about it. They've got very strict rules that are printed out on very nice paper that she has to follow every single day, including dressing the doll and, oh, sorry, dressing Brahms. He must be addressed as Brahms. What a terrible name for a little boy.
I think it's a great name.
Yeah, but that...
a proper little lad.
That is a name that you give a child that you expect to die in a fire at 8 years old.
That is the name you give to a boy who will never grow up.
Yeah, like that is a little tombstone and casket name. Unless nobody is going to grad school and becoming the CEO of a company as Brahms.
Yeah, but what if it's like Brahms the Third?
Okay, well, once you say that,
you're right.
It works.
Then you hear like Harvard douche.
Oh yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All the outfits were Harvard douche, I will say.
The entire house is Harvard douche.
Brahms' outfits were very like prep school. Prep.
Even the photos of him as a child, when he was a murderer.
When he was licking a giant lollipop.
with his little fucking curl.
Oh, boy.
Not a photo that exists, by the way, if you haven't seen this movie.
Yeah, that's not a real thing. So, my first experience with this movie, I think we probably watched it together.
Yeah.
Avoided it initially at release because I'm not big on doll and kid movies.
Sure.
Which is to say that Dead Silence is the greatest movie of all time.
Right. We're allowed to have one, and that's the one.
That is the one. So I kind of just like wasn't too stoked for it. And I think it wasn't until everybody was up this film's butt and we're saying that it was awesome. And then I was like, what's going on with this creepy doll movie? And then I agree. It's pretty okay.
It's pretty okay. The interesting thing about this movie is that I had forgotten enough of the tiny details that it kind of felt like watching it again. It's almost as though I was watching it for the first time if the ending had been spoiled for me.
Okay.
Because there's whole chunks where...
That's what watching every movie is like for me. Like, every single time I watch The Sixth Sense, I'm like, oh my God, there's a puking girl!
I won't lie. There were a few times that... because I knew we were talking about this movie. I knew we were sitting down to watch it. And I wanted to talk about the ending. Like, oh, you know what's really cool about this movie? I'm sure you remember. And I had to stop myself because I've done that before and ruined movies for you that you've seen.
Yeah, don't talk to me like I've seen movies before. It's not nice.
Yeah, I've learned that it's cruel. But yeah, so I'm having your experience watching this movie this
time. Yeah, because I remembered the ending, but I couldn't remember
anything else. Yeah.
Other than that, it looked like that Guillermo del Toro produced movie with the gremlins in the walls.
Okay, so you probably had the same experience I did where you're in, I don't know, halfway through this movie that came out in 2016, dealing with ostensibly the ghost of a little boy and a female lead who's running away from an abusive relationship. And she's very invested in the possibility of the spirit of this boy inhabiting this doll. You're like, wow, this is a weird match. Like, shouldn't she be dealing with a loss or something? Like, wouldn't that make more sense?
Like, and they're like, oh, by the way, yeah, I'm dealing with a loss.
I was like, way to go, 2016. Doing something different that we can't seem to figure out how to do now in 2026. But nope, they at least kept it a secret. There was something else about it, too.
You know what, though? I don't know if they capitalized on the fact that her realizing that there or confirming to herself that there is life after death means that the child that she miscarried may still be somewhere. Like,
ooh, that's a can of worms.
Yeah,
that
like
we probably
didn't touch any of the existential stuff about what a ghost represents.
No.
What it proves.
No, and like,
we
hey.
Just had the scene from Poltergeist where the mom's like, watch Carol Ann go across the floor.
Yeah, yeah, where she like chalk outlines the boy on the ground, yeah. Right? Like, you gotta see this, it's amazing. We go into another room, we knock on the wall, he knocks back, we go, he's missing. Kind of fun. Kind of fun.
Yeah, no, I liked it.
I like the manic energy of it. You're right. Very much like the mom in Poltergeist.
So why I think they went with the trauma angle, one, it gives the excuse for why she's running away and why she's run away so far. She's escaping an abusive ex-boyfriend. Then adding the trauma layer on top of the miscarriage makes it fit a little better why she's so quick to mother this ghost child.
Yeah.
Even though it still feels weird. The movie has such a short runtime that I honestly think you could have extended it a little bit just to make things feel a little more normal.
I think there were probably tons of scenes that were cut because mm-hmm. there's the scene where she's in the garden explaining how, I mean, to be perfectly honest, she's talking totally normal, but he's like, oh, that's so... so sorry to hear that. You know, he's given that sort of compassionate
voice.
The
gardener boy. Or yeah. No, the grocery boy.
The grocery boy. And then at the end of it, he's like, you know, I'm really sorry. Like, I'm here for you. And then they kiss. And it's like, there was, either I was daydreaming or there was no scene where we established even a hug before that.
And the next scene, they're sleeping together.
Yeah.
And I'm like, whoa, y'all are lonely in the country.
I think we just, I mean, aren't they? Yeah. I think we
play
probably
a little harder to get, Brahms.
I know, we've established that there's a ghost in the house, that it's living in this
that,
boy.
That is the scene before this, is confirmation that there is a ghost. Like, she shows the grocery guy, I can't remember his name, the grocery guy.
Mr. Green Jacket. That's all you kept talking about. You're like, he's wearing another green shirt!
I just don't understand the color in it. Like, I'm like, what does this represent? Why is he always in green?
I'm trying to tell you, Kim, he's trying to tell everybody in town that his produce is the freshest.
So, like, that's deep. Like, that's good. That's some, like, right backstory for that character.
His name's Malcolm, by the way.
Malcolm. Okay. So, yes, she's just proven to him that she's not crazy bananas and that there's something happening in this house that's paranormal, supernatural in nature.
Yeah.
And, yeah, the next scene, they're, like, going at it, and you're just like, you don't even understand where this ghost is.
Uh-huh.
Like, it could be omnipresent.
Also, we're discovering this while a ghost is clearly peeping on them through a keyhole, which was a good shot. I liked it, because the camera pulled
out. I did appreciate
the
all the Brahms height POV.
That was the craziest thing. So there's tons of scenes in this movie where clearly, like, it's the perspective of a little ghost boy who's running through the house like a little scamp, stealing things, getting into trouble, and it's all from like 3 feet off the ground.
Well, it doesn't help that at any time we hear Brahms' voice, it's like muffled through a telephone. It's like, play with me, Greta. And then we see him, well, we don't see him scampering around, but we like see via POV the scamper.
Is this movie as successful, as creepy, because you fucking jumped like a dozen times?
There were too many dream jump scares, I will say.
Is this movie as effective if the eyeballs on that goddamn doll aren't so fucking lifelike?
They're just so glassy.
Yeah.
Do you think there was somebody just like applying Vaseline like
probably
in between every take?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a good creepy doll.
Or it's
I will
done
say
in post.
That.
Yeah, I don't know.
It was a good doll.
There's that first scene where she's like, what's happening? Is this doll moving? And she's like, oh my God, is that doll crying? And then we discover that it's a leak from the ceiling.
That was good.
Great buildup.
Loved that.
Like, love that. But the I'm telling you, the eyeballs, they look real. I think that's doing all the heavy lifting in this movie, mostly for you to feel.
Oh, if it was like a shitty doll, you'd be like, eh.
Yeah. And like, we've seen that movie before. It's like, it's a shitty doll, and you're like, whatever. Oh, ooh, it moved. You know, like, oh, it's not in the same spot anymore. But the eyeballs on Brahms, they burrow into your soul. It's probably also, the eyeballs are very good, and it doesn't blink, of course.
Well, and also, it's a porcelain doll, which is like fragile and antique. So anytime you're picking it up and carrying it around, you are holding it like a baby. Like, you're holding it very careful.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't know, adds to
add something to it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Add some green jacket effects to it. I do want to talk about the green jacket. I just don't know what it means.
Go for it.
I don't
the
have
floor
any,
is yours.
I don't have any theories. But I do want to say about Malcolm, the grocery man,
uh-huh.
is that there was a kind of a missed opportunity there to make him a bigger red herring.
Yeah.
Because early on, as soon as the parents leave her to nanny the kid while they go on their vacation, she's like, so what's the deal with this doll kid? And he's like, so let's go to the garden. And he takes her to a tombstone of Brahms and is like, he died in a fire. Crazy, I know. And then she's like, wow, 20 years ago, he'd be exactly the same age as you are. And they use that.
I wish there was actually more dialogue than what you're describing
furtive
here.
Furtive glances.
Yeah, and he's got like unfettered access to the house. He's always coming and going.
He can let himself in and out. Yeah. He's got access to their money. Like,
There might have been more scenes. There might have been more scenes where they had that and they were implying it. I'm almost positive it's in the script.
They have to be. It's like they're on a silver platter.
Uh-huh.
There's no furtive glances.
They totally
They're like
it.
Fully, the whole movie, they're like, love interest.
It makes me wonder if, I was going to say, like, I wonder if Cole, the abusive boyfriend, was sort of like a late addition and like maybe some reshoots or something. But like, I doubt it. Like, he's such a core
part. He is kind of a weird... I mean, you know he's going to show up.
Of course. We're talking about him the whole goddamn movie.
She's worried about it. She's talking to her sister, and her sister's like, he showed up. He kept asking about you. And she's like, don't tell him where I am. And the next phone call, she's like, he wouldn't leave, so I gave him your address.
Yeah.
So he could write you a letter. I'm
right.
Like, what?
Yeah. Who does that?
What?
Yeah. Especially after we've had dialogue talking about, like, everybody in my family begged me to get away from him.
Like, congratulations. We lasted 1 week in witness protection.
Basically. Yeah. Oh, what a mistake.
She shouldn't have told her sister where she was. She shouldn't have told anyone. But she was like, send me more magazines. Like, order them on the internet.
Are you kidding me? Just get an English magazine.
Go to the store.
This drives me nuts. Like, when people go to another country and they just eat McDonald's, you're like, just... You can have McDonald's at home. Like, read Cosmo when you get back. See what Cosmo UK is like.
Favorite has a U in it.
I can't possibly read this. Yeah. Oh, anyway.
What is a torch?
What is a torch?
Actually, they do say cupboard for the bread bin, which was really weird for me. Took me out of the film.
Okay.
It took you out of the film, too. Stop being judgmental.
I didn't give too much of a shit.
You remarked on it.
I think the thing that bugged me the most was that they had just like a regular old Black & Decker coffee pot in this old ass house.
You're like, this is 1945.
Yeah, they're using like a huge ass stereo cabinet. Like they're using like 78 records. Like they're just using like old ass records, like with that giant needle that you have to lift down like it's a piece of surgical equipment. But we've got just regular old filter drip coffee. Like, just get a French press.
Like, it's a fucking Keurig.
Yeah.
And they're so big on waste, too. To have a Keurig would be sacrilegious.
That's another subplot, right? Like, where they're taking all their food. Like, oh, it's a country home. We don't throw food out.
They cut some scenes out there, because what does that mean?
We need to know what's up with the food.
Why are they freezing the food? Is it for him to get?
Probably.
Like, when everybody goes to sleep? But then why is Malcolm, the grocery boy, like, oh, I got to clear out all this food? He's like... Yeah, it's a thing they do.
So can I ask you some serious questions here?
Yeah.
Malcolm is the... another thing that I was like, oh, so strange about this movie. I need a prequel. I want to know why this happened. Because the whole story here is that there was a fire and then Brahms died in the fire.
On his eighth birthday.
And now Kim's really trying to bury the lead here, Kim's trying to preserve the secret of the film, where we learn that Brahms is clearly alive. He's living in the goddamn walls. He's an adult boy with a porcelain mask. It's an awesome scene. Can't wait to talk about it. But he's one of three people on the property.
Mm-hmm.
The only other person who comes in is the grocer. Why do they have all these fucking rules?
What do you mean?
Like, sure, hide them in the walls if you want to. But if there's never anybody else around...
Yeah, but he's very particular, I think.
That is such an excuse.
So, it turns out he murdered a girl in the woods, maybe. And then the police came a knocking, and then, I guess... They lit the house on fire and burned him.
Yeah, I think the story is that there was a little girl from town who came to play with him. By the sounds of it, he was an odd boy.
Mm-hmm.
On his birthday, they found this girl in the woods with her head bashed in. She's been murdered. Everybody's pretty certain it's Brahms. By the time the cops get there, the house is already on fire. And oh no, poor Brahms got taken in the flames.
Yeah, so I don't think they lit Brahms on fire. But I think Brahms maybe lit Brahms on fire.
You think so?
Yeah, I think he was just in a little rage fit. He was just having a bad birthday. Killed his best friend.
Now, this is some classic British true crime shit, Kim. I think the parents lit the house on fire.
Because they were like, he's bad blood. And then he didn't die. And then they were like, fuck, now we have to parent him for 80 more years.
It's way less conspiracy minded than that. I think they just wanted their boy not to go to prison.
Yeah, and so they put him in the walls.
They're faking his death.
But didn't you see, though, when, what's her name? Greta. In the end, when she, like, stabs him and he falls down and
he's got
mask
burn marks,
breaks.
Right?
His face is burnt up. He's Freddy Krueger under there.
Oh, man. Okay.
So there was a fire. That surprised me in the ending. I was like, oh, shit, there was a fire.
If
they're
that
justifying
is,
the porcelain mask.
That is a much better story to try and... What a weird way to try and kill your own son. You know, your 8-year-old son.
I think
you
he,
could hit him with a spoon.
I think
hard
he had a little
hissy
die. Fit. I think he was like, I killed my best friend. I don't deserve to
oh,
live.
Oh, you think that's what it
and,
is.
And like burnt himself, but didn't die. And then the parents trying to... protect him, put him in the walls, and then because he's an odd character and he's very habit forming, he wouldn't leave. I don't think he would, like, I think he just became boy in the walls and
okay.
they couldn't get him out.
So this sounds a little
and
bit
and he's
like,
a bad seed too, so it's easier if he's just in the walls because then he's not murdering girls in the village.
We needed more scenes, flashback scenes of little shitty Brahms.
Bad boy Brahms.
Refusing to come out of the walls. Like, no, Daddy, I live here now. I'll take my breakfast in the attic, please.
I need a razor. I'm getting a beard.
Such a neck beard underneath that fucking mask.
He had so much body hair. It really added to it, though, because you're like, Brahms ain't a boy no more.
No, what a svelte little wall crawler.
He was like a chimney sweep.
He's kind of the opposite of what what Billy looked like in Black Christmas, right? Like Black Christmas, Billy is also kind of strange looking, but there is a he's got like a smelly wool sweater in this one.
I know he had a nice little cardigan on him.
We described that very differently.
It was dirty, but it was a nice cardigan.
And we get him in the end with like Jason Voorhees rules. He already comes with his own Pamela sweater. He's already wearing it,
and he's fucking built like he's doing bench presses back there in those walls.
Yeah,
there's a because he yucks her across the room.
Right? Yeah, he tosses Greta like it's nothing. Like it's practically a Marvel superhero movie.
For a second, you're like, have we gone paranormal again?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. I will say, the scene where he comes out of the wall, I think about it all the time.
Oh, it's cinema.
Yeah.
It's so good, especially because you get a flash of that green cardigan, and you're like, who's this now?
Okay, I'm just gonna go ahead and give you guys a secondary clue. The secret theme is not cardigan, okay?
And just, it's not green.
Just based on Kim's enthusiasm for it, that
How
is not...
How often do you get a killer in a cardigan? I'm just saying.
Probably often.
Name another.
Does Ethan Hawke count in Sinister?
It's oh, really... he does cardigan in that. doesn't really count.
The most cardigan
he's
in
so
that.
He's so cardigan.
Surely there's a cardigan in The Stepfather.
Oh, you know what? There's that movie that came out with Amanda Seyfried and Kevin Bacon. They're in that weird house. He's cardiganed up in that movie.
He's cardiganed up.
I think Kevin that was Bacon's... the only thing I took away from it. Was just like, wow, these are a lot of open front cardigans.
Yeah, the directed by David Cope, right? I don't remember the name of that movie. I mean, you could... very cardigan-y material that Matthew Lillard's wearing at the end of Scream when he gets stabbed. Not a cardigan, but like cardigan
material.
Is it
material. A cardigan?
No, it's not. It's just like a regular ass sweater.
Are you sure?
Yeah, let's change the theme. Let's do cardigans. I like this.
We need to do more research first.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. We're taking a moment today to celebrate women and all that they carry at work, in relationships, in families, in the many roles that they hold every day. And honestly, there is no better person to do that right now than me, the male co-host of this silly podcast. You know, March includes International Women's Day, a moment to celebrate women's strengths and progress while also recognizing how much they carry every day. Between caring for others and managing unseen responsibilities, their emotional well-being can easily be overlooked. We want to remind women how much they matter and that therapy offers a space for them to take care of themselves in the way that they deserve. And like, let's be real, the horror space would be nowhere without good female characters, without strong women behind the camera, in front of the camera. This is one genre that totally understands the importance of a strong female lead. And you can't tell me that all those final girls don't need a ton of therapy after what they've been through. Anyway, BetterHelp therapists work according to a strict code of conduct and are fully licensed in the United States. BetterHelp does the initial matching for you so you can focus on your therapy goals. A short questionnaire helps identify your needs and preferences, and their 12-plus years of experience and industry-leading match fulfillment rate means they typically get it right the first time. At least that's what this ad copy says. If you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from their tailored recommendations. Your emotional well-being matters. Find support and feel lighter in therapy. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Do your knees make you feel older than you are? You're out here trying to have a hot girl summer at 35. You're on dating apps. You're saying yes to spontaneous trips. Maybe you're rediscovering your flexibility, and your knees are like, actually, we'd like to quit. The IncrediWear Infrared Knee Sleeve uses fabric tech designed to increase blood flow and help reduce pain and speed recovery, so your knees can actually keep up with your life. It's like giving your body the support it already wants while it heals, just without all the extra pain and drama. Wear it to the gym. Wear it on a date. Wear it while you're doing things I cannot say on this podcast. It's comfortable, breathable, and works 24/7. Go to freesocks.com and grab the IncrediWear knee sleeve and a free pair of socks with purchase. That's freesox.com. Because if something's going to give out, let it be him, not your knees.
But yeah, no, the scene where the shitty boyfriend has smashed Brahms and like now.
Oh, yeah, because he shows up.
And yeah. And
because he's got the address.
He's a fucking dickhead, too.
And he's,
right?
Like,
he's like, you're coming back to Montana with me. I got a new construction job. Everything's going to be great.
He shows
now.
Up and he's in the kitchen straightening the cans.
Yes. And yeah, like, you know, he sees the doll. What's up with this creepy doll?
Oh, the doll. He accepts the doll, man. Faster than anybody else does.
He flicks that doll in the face, and you're like, this guy's gonna die. This guy is so fucking dead.
Brahms hates you.
But yeah, when he smashes the doll, the paranormal activity is the Richter scale's off to 11, and the walls are shaking and shit. And then the mirror explodes, and there's just a cavern that leads inside.
Did you feel like it was too early for that? Like, I did not realize how far into the movie we were. I thought there was going to be more of a, like, battle with the boyfriend, because he kind of just showed up. This movie is short. It is fast.
It's great. Love it.
Because, yeah, he breaks through the mirror and he's like, surprise, surprise, I'm not a ghost boy. I'm a real boy.
I can't stress
enough. And I'm 8 feet tall.
How often I think of that 8-foot boy in his cardigan coming out of that goddamn wall. It is shot so well and he looks so fucking weird. I also don't think you expect that he's going to be wearing a porcelain face. You know, like, it's such a good reveal.
Mm-hmm. His hair's all greasy, and his chin's all hairy, and his chest is out, and it's furry.
He's very tall.
It's a lot.
Uh-huh.
It's a lot to take in. It's not a porcelain boy. Why can't he sneak out and, like, snip her hair off? Why can't he sneak out and have a shower?
Goes against neckbeard code, Kim.
He's, like, banging on the wall. He's like, Mom, I need the new Call of Duty. Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's a scene, a sequence that is so good that, like, if I'm ever bored watching this movie, it totally redeems any sort of, like, complaints you might have about it. Like, I get it. At the time, it felt very sort of, like, by the books. Even now, you're just like, wow, this is like 100 other movies I watched at this time.
Yeah.
But it totally, totally redeems itself at the end of the movie. I think it's a really good reveal. I don't think it wastes a shit ton of time.
This is an efficient movie. Like, if you want to just, like, sit down, watch a slightly gothic horror mystery, bam. Bam, boom, in, out. Brahms is real.
Yeah, and it's hard to rewatch it and remember the sort of, like, what is actually going on here? Because,
mm-hmm.
like you were mentioning, I assumed it's either a supernatural situation with the doll,
mm-hmm.
or it's the grocer who's kind of, like, tricking
the
her.
The movie's not like it's a supernatural situation with the doll or the grocer. It's like it's a supernatural situation with the doll.
Yeah, I think it does a really good job of doing that. And, like, some of it definitely comes down to how creepy the doll looks, how much Greta is buying into the whole scenario. But, like, when you watch it now, it is so much just a human being manipulating a doll, right? But they do such a good job of sort of like bending the reality around her in the house by herself.
Mm-hmm.
Because at first she's just like day one, they leave in the car and she's like, yeah, fuck this doll. I'm going to have red wine. I'm going to eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and I'm just going to have naps on the couch. But in a couple days, like a week later, she's like, I'm doing all these fucking rules and Brahms a real boy and I'm going to learn how to play the harpsichord, motherfucker. Like we're tucking him into bed. We're giving him a little kiss and we're treating him like a real boy.
And it's like one instance where he like scares the shit out of her and she's like, well, I guess I have to work for this money now.
Uh-huh. And it's a ton of money. She gets like a huge envelope of cash.
So
but, okay.
they don't really talk on it. Do you think that the grocer has been allotted like all of the money for her situation?
I don't
know. Or are they mailing it? Because, so the other side of this movie
is we haven't even talked about this
that
part.
The vacation that the parents are going on isn't a vacation at all. They are off to fill their pockets with rocks, and they walk into the sea, which the first time I watched this movie, and I remember this much, that is when it got me on side. I was okay.
What's happening now?
Yes. And
also, then that also kind of sells the supernatural angle. You're like, they got to get away from this fucking ghost. Yeah.
And like, the mom's kind of a hard ass, and she's going through the rules with Greta when she first gets there, and then they're like, okay, well, Brahms thinks you're cool, so you're hired. And then when they're leaving, she gives her a hug goodbye, and she whispers in her ear, like, I'm so sorry. And you're like, what the fuck? And then we learned Brahms is a bad seed. We're like, oh, this is a bad ghost. And she's stuck here.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when they kill themselves and they're not coming back. And they write a letter to Brahms. It's basically like, we got you this girl. Enjoy her.
Yeah, she's yours now.
Yeah, so do you think they were just going to not pay her anymore and that she was just going to be like Brahms's prisoner?
I think so. And I think they have probably set up some sort of arrangement with the bank.
Well, you wouldn't have to pay her if she's a prisoner.
Yeah, I'm talking about groceries. You gotta feed her. You gotta feed prisoners.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like one of the only things you gotta do. I think you can just set up a like recurring payment through the bank for the groceries.
How long do you think that they were gonna keep the illusion up that she's working with this ghost? Do you think they were just going to keep it going forever?
Because you mean like the envelopes of cash?
After 2 months or however long that she was temp hired to watch this doll, she would be like, I'm not doing this anymore. Where are they? They left me in their house.
I would imagine that they also maybe set up a courier service with the bank to bring an envelope of cash to the grocer who would deliver it to her. And it would probably only last maybe 2 months. And after that, I assume that envelope goes away. We find out that they've killed themselves. She's going to stay to take on Brahms in like a weird sort of new abusive relationship. Like she'll become a prisoner for sure.
Mm. I mean, she was the right choice. Do you think they knew about her backstory? Like, do you think they researched her?
I don't think so.
Or they just lucked out with like the perfect person who'd be like, yeah, I'll acclimate to this doll child.
My guess is Brahms wasn't worried about it. I think Brahms just... It's not like he's a criminal mastermind. He's an 8-year-old boy who's been living in the walls forever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm sure the parents maybe thought, okay, best case scenario, she gets out of this with her life, you know? Worst case scenario, he kills her before anybody finds out what's going on.
And eats her hair, yeah.
Yeah. I don't think they expected it to last another 30 years, probably.
Then why didn't they just light the house on fire and, you know, finish the job?
That would have been nicer. Or not. That would have been more decent of them, I suppose.
Yeah. I guess there's just so many possible angles and I think it leaves it open-ended that you're just like, so what was the plan here?
So, agreed. There are some holes.
I do like, though, that line when they're just like, by the way, the windows don't open.
But Brahms is very much with us still. Anyway, we'll be gone now. I mean, there's also a whole chunk at the end of the movie that I don't think necessarily, like, fleshes anything out. So we establish now that, like, we understand why she wants to stay. We have this character who has lost her own child and is sort of finding redemption or solace in Brahms, who is another lost child that she can take care of now. I think that might be a happy accident for them.
I'm your mummy now, Brahms.
But by the end of the movie, we've That's all gone.
Like, by the end of the movie, all that's fucked.
That subplot is dropped entirely. Because
I think it's when she realizes he has chest hair.
Is that what it is?
She's like,
because it goes from having this entity that fills a child-sized hole in her life to, I must stab him with a screwdriver now. Like, that's fine, you know? And then, like, they're done, and that's it.
What I like is when the boyfriend shows up and is like, you're leaving with me tomorrow, and I bought us plane tickets, and don't you fuss with me. She, that night's like, well, I'm not sleeping with you, and I'm not kissing you, and you're gross, and I have to go babysit this boy, so give me a minute.
Uh-huh.
She goes in, sleeps in Brahms' room, and she's like, hey, Brahms, could you do me a favor? She's essentially like, yo, Brahms, get rid of him.
Yeah.
And she's all upset when the real Brahms comes out of the wall and stabs him in the neck with doll Brahms' porcelain shard.
He did everything she asked for.
Right?
Yeah.
And how did she reward him? Stabby stab.
Stabby stab. He was not a nice guy. I don't think she had to reward him with anything. But I do love the image of Brahms in real form. His eyes look fucking creepy through, like, his human eyes look creepy through that doll mask.
Yeah.
It's great. And, like, again, like, I love a sequence where we are in the walls of a house.
Yeah. It does feel very Black Christmas.
Yeah.
Honestly, I couldn't stop thinking. I don't know if this was a big thing in 2016 when this came out, but I just couldn't stop thinking that we were watching Elf on the Shelf, the horror movie.
Oh, God.
Because Brahms...
I'm sorry to yawn.
Brahms just kept, like, popping up in new places.
Yeah.
And we don't see him actually moving, so we're not 100% on side that it's a ghost child.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be just the grocer elf on the shelfing this doll.
Wow.
And like, I need to listen to records now. And like, now I'm in your bedroom stealing your dress. It's a Christmas movie.
Elf on the Shelf, Brahm in the bedroom. That's pretty funny. That's because if it were the grocer, in theory, that's what the movie is. Like,
yeah.
It's just Brahm doing that.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's subtle. Sometimes it's just a matter of, like, twisting the head. Other times it's fully moving Brahm away and just putting him in a different spot.
Why do you think Brahm needed a proxy? Because they wouldn't let him out of the walls? And it was a way for them to, like, hug their son? And...
See, this is why it is one of those double-edged sword things. Well, not double-edged sword, but, like, it's a... You want to know more, but knowing more might be worse. Like, is it that... It was a way to signal to the town that it's not weird when we talk about our son still being alive.
Mm.
You know, like, this is how we can kind of get away with it.
And people don't ask too many questions. People don't go up there and bug them because they're just like, they're just loony and they're lost.
Yeah, now they're weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we just leave them alone and then we keep pub talk to pub talk and polite talk to polite talk.
Yeah.
Or...
But I also think it serves a purpose with their relationship with Brahms. Like, maybe it keeps them docile.
Possibly.
Because they're keeping him regimented, but they're also, like, if he's this doll... Then he's very still, he's very quiet,
mm-hmm.
He's very calm.
Yeah, it seems, just because they seem to really be under his thumb, that either it's something that they started to keep him calm that really spun out of control over a lifetime, or it's something that he really demanded that has never gone away.
Yeah, but if he's the one in control, why isn't he like, fetch me girls from the village?
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like he just wants lullabies.
Because I feel like this is a Michael Myers situation. Like, kill someone when he's tiny and young and not legally culpable for it. And they're like, lock him away forever. And then let's call him a monster when he's 27.
Yeah.
And then we're like, this is the worst human being to ever exist.
This is pure evil.
And so he kills again.
Yeah. You know, I don't know.
Like, maybe if they had gotten him some mental health help.
You know, I think you just never know what the inner workings of a specific family are unless you're in it. I think it's just one of those things, you know? Like, every relationship's really strange, really weird when you're not in it. I don't know where I'm going with this. Yeah, I don't really have a lot of details for you. I definitely don't have a lot of answers for you. I think it is just weird for the sake of weird.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not so weird that it doesn't make sense. Like, you could see how 20 years... of isolation drives this kind of madness into this deep spiral,
mm-hmm.
You know? But it is mostly just in service of a surprise ending like this. Like,
yeah.
You know, and I think it's a well-constructed surprise.
But the more you pick at it, the more it's like,
yeah,
this is...
You're not supposed to. You're supposed to eat popcorn, leave the theater and go, that's pretty fucking crazy, right? A lot of chest hair on that guy.
I honestly didn't give this enough credit when it came out that they were really going for a gothic horror type film, and that they were, how hard they were going to lean into the ghostiness of it.
Yeah, it's like The Turning.
Because they really do set like an atmosphere and give us a ye olde time period vibe. Like you're saying, when there's a coffee pot, you're like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah, like
that doesn't exist.
We've got moss covered statues around a walking.
Oh,
pond.
I love a gothic greenhouse vibe.
Yeah, they did a great job of doing that.
And like the fountain that hasn't worked for 100 years.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and it's just got like, you know, 2 inches of water and 30 frogs.
Mm-hmm. You got to like move brambles away to like, a tombstone. Yeah, it's a good movie.
Come on now, Mr. Tuttle.
Yeah, you love that shit.
That's from The Others, by the way.
I know it is. The Others is a good movie. I mean, I wish it fit this theme. It almost
Don't
does.
Add hints. It's episode one.
Anyway, good movie to kick off the podcast. One that was fun to revisit, for sure.
It was fun to revisit.
It's been the right amount of time since we last watched
it. I don't
it.
Think I'm ever going to rewatch part two, though, because I remember it like retcons part one, right?
Maybe, something like that. I don't remember everything.
Yeah, I don't remember it either.
I remember not loving it. I do remember seeing it in the theater.
I do, too.
Yeah.
I think it's because we were like, well, we didn't give Brahms a chance originally,
right?
So now we have to give
it. We owe it to them. Even if we don't like it, this is like a honorary Oscar where you give it to somebody on a movie where, like, well, like, technically they deserved it for their last movie, but, like, sure, we'll give it to them for The Departed, even though it kind of sucks.
Leonardo DiCaprio, this is for The Titanic. And like, what? I was 17. I'm 50 now.
Yeah, so The Boy. Pretty good one.
Pretty okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I kind of tempted now. Like, we watched this on Tubi. It had commercials.
You're going to fucking hear it in your voice. You're going to watch the second one.
No, I'm just saying that, like, maybe we got to buy, like, the 4K Blu-ray when it comes out.
You think this one's getting 4K?
Just so we can see what the deleted scenes are.
Okay.
I'm curious.
I guess everything's getting 4K at this point. I look at some of the movies that we get on 4K, and you're just like, this is insane that this was ever released on VHS. But okay, sure, let's watch this in crystal clear clarity.
I love it. Yeah. It's great. It's a vibe.
It's the best.
I prefer the VHS quality, but sure, I'll buy the 4K. Yeah, I need to see. There's got to be more. There's got to be another half hour movie, because I want to learn more about the freezer. I want to learn more about the grocer. I need it to be explained why he's always in green. You know, Brahms' cardigan's green. Maybe it's just like they just want to have a green palette.
Man, I don't need answers to any of these questions. I mean, I'm okay to watch Brahms eat some like defrosted sludge from the freezer. That's fine by me.
I also want to know how she's like feeding him. Like, does she like pour cereal and then like, okay, Brahms, I know you're shy, I'm going to go upstairs for 13 minutes so the real boy can come out of the walls and eat the cereal.
I think that's what the freezer is all about. I think he just takes I think he takes food from the freezer and eats that.
Yeah.
Either that or, yeah, you would just... It's amazing to me that she doesn't just leave that pear in front of him, walk away, come back, and be like, oh, who ate this pear? Instead, she's just like, oh, you don't want to eat this in front of me? I guess it's trash then.
Yeah.
Anyway, that is your first clue to what the secret theme of the podcast is this season. If you think you already know what the theme is, submit your guess in the link in the episode description. Good luck.
If you want to talk to us about The Boy or anything that you've been watching, any horror movies that are upcoming that you want to check out, join us in our Discord server at nofspodcast.com/Discord. We're in there every day just talking shit.
Yeah, social media sucks. Discord's about the only place that matters
anymore. I don't know. Discord is going to go public soon. They're going to IPO.
Fuck.
So Discord's about to suck too.
Oh, we're all going to have to start sending letters.
Oh, I'm really disappointed.
We're going to have to live that gothic manor life. Okay, well, until that happens, we'll be here talking about movies for the next 13 weeks, I think. But thank you so much for listening. And until next time, I'm John.
I'm Kimmy.
Stay creepy.
It appears you made it out alive, but we'll get you next time. Help us to grow the horde. Leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you subscribe. More terror can be found lurking on our website, nofspodcast.com. Until next time, stay creepy, fiends.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.